Here are the stories we're covering this week in the Category5.tv newsroom. Mozilla says it will soon be modifying its Firefox browser to block all user trackers on websites by default. Windows on ARM is now a thing. Uber says it plans to focus more on its electric scooter and bike business and less on cars, despite the fact it could hurt profits. And gene editing hopes for muscular dystrophy. These stories are coming right up. Don't go anywhere.
Jeff Weston.
Yeah, man.
You're building a brand new, beautiful website.
What?
Aren't you?
No. Am I?
Oh, you're a terrible actor.
What?
This is where acting comes into play.
Oh, I didn't know we were acting.
You're supposed to act.
Okay, fair enough. All right.
Yeah, I'm building a really cool website. Are you building a really cool website? Just because Jeff is confused doesn't mean you have to be. Visit cat5.tv/dreamhost to sign up for unlimited web hosting for your website with unlimited email accounts, MySQL databases, the latest version of PHP, WordPress, and more, and even a free domain name registration. It's less than $6 per month, so sign up today. cat5.tv/dreamhost.
This is the Category5.tv newsroom, covering the week's top tech stories with a slight Linux bias.
I'm Sasha Rickman, and here are the top stories we're following this week. Mozilla says it will soon be modifying its Firefox browser to block all user tracking on websites by default. Mozilla VP of Product Strategy, Nick Nugent, said on Thursday, in the near future, Firefox will, by default, protect users by blocking tracking while also offering a clear set of controls to give our users more choice over what information they share with sites. The move will see an initial trial of the feature in September, and should that work out, the Firefox 63 rollout will include a component to immediately block slow-loading trackers. By the time Firefox 65 is released, Mozilla says that it hopes to have all cross-site tracking blocked by default. The move means a shift by Mozilla from the more passive do-not-track system that relies on sites to recognize the notice and disable their trackers to an active feature that will instead block tracking by default and require the user themselves to opt in to the website's trackers. Users will have the option to enable trackers by default. Google Chrome, Microsoft Edge, IE, and Apple Safari also support a Do Not Track option in their browsers. The planned update would, however, make Firefox the most aggressive browser when it comes to thwarting trackers. Mozilla contends that the decision is more about more than privacy. The developer notes that the slow-loading trackers are to blame for some pages taking as much as 50% more time to fully load than they would otherwise. Nugent goes on, some sites will continue to want user data in exchange for content, but they will now have to ask for it.
Interesting.
It is interesting.
And a little freaky.
Well, I worry because, okay, so there's the idea that the sites will load faster because there's no trackers. But
you think so?
But
that seems far-fetched to me.
Well, I wonder, what do you give up? Like, okay, so trackers are there to sell your stuff, right? They track you, and then they're
in a way,
privacy stealers, aren't they?
It's not always a bad thing, though.
Right.
Like, we have, for example, we don't do banner ads. Well, there are ads on the site, but not really. Like, they're not tracker ads and things like that. We used to use Google Ads on our website.
Right.
And I do use Google Ads on other websites, like other websites that I own.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is if you go on Amazon and you do a search for something,
yeah,
then you go to my website and you're seeing ads for that same product. And it's meant to incentivize you to
make the purchase.
Yeah, to make the purchase that you're already interested in.
This is assuming that you're not Sasha. Sasha only searches for things in the 5 minutes before she's about to buy it. And then by the time she sees all the ads,
right,
she already owns it. But and then you get like a million ads. Like, here's this tent that you've been looking at. I'm like, wait, no, I own it.
Yeah, exactly. I already said no to that one and bought the other one. And so that can be annoying. But
yeah,
so it's not always malicious.
Right.
No, it's a lot of times it's just to sell ad space. And that in and of itself helps free
distribution and free media, we got to realize that the web is free, right? We want the web to be free.
Right.
I am guilty of it, where if I'm looking on Google News and I click on a news article that's of interest to me and it says you need to sign up, back, and click on the next news article that is related to that same story.
I, too, am that person.
Yeah, and I think a lot of us are. So if we hate that, if we hate having to sign up and we hate having to, in some cases, pay.
Right.
Like, hey, you've already read four articles on our site. Now you need to buy a subscription if you want to read our newspaper. That's
like,
a real thing.
I'll find
because
it somewhere
these companies
else.
Are trying to figure out how they can pay their staff.
Exactly.
So if we could just... It's such a catch-22.
That's the thing.
It's not always benign.
Right.
But it quite often is. So if you block it verbatim, or just all across
right.
the board, then you're hurting the little guys.
These things that are free, it's not like people wake up in the morning and they're like, I already have $1 million. I just want to do things for free for people. Except for, well, we don't have $1 million. We want to do free things. But
if I
okay.
had $1 million.
So, you have to make money somehow. And a lot of times it's with ads. And
absolutely.
So a lot of times that's with trackers. So it's
that's what they're for. So now if you block the trackers, does the advertising revenue drop? And I think the answer is going to be yes.
Go
ahead.
I think that what's going to end up happening, because you have to opt in to having it done, right? You have to opt into your tracking. But the benefit of opting in would be... I think that there's going to be more incentives to opt in, right? Because if you opt out...
Yeah, like if you go to my website and it says click here to opt in to this service.
Right.
I guess it depends on how easy it is for the programmers to implement that.
Yeah.
What I have my doubts about is the claim that websites will be significantly faster in that... That feels like a jab at like Google. Hey, Google, you guys are slow.
Right.
So I just ran a scan. I went to webpagetest.org, and I ran a scan on NEMS Linux, because NEMS Linux, I do have Google Ads on the website. Okay, my first byte is doing pretty miserably, but I've got A across the board. So let's see. This is called a waterfall, and this shows me where things are running slow so that I know the performance of my website and where I can make improvements.
Right.
So the first byte, of course, happens in nemslinux.com, and then it goes out and it gets Google's fonts, it gets Font Awesome, a whole bunch of other assets. Our CDN is cdn.zechariah.com. How cool is it that I was able to get my son his name.com?
So cool.
He's too young for it yet, but when he's older, he will
this
appreciate
that. This is
going to
be a big
that,
deal.
Right? But for now, we use it as our CDN. Content distribution network, if you're not familiar with the term. Okay, so let's see. We've got Google Tag Manager is happening there. Where is there a performance hit? Let's scroll down. Here's a performance hit. It's happening at googleads.doubleclick.net. They're right. Is it 50%? No, it's not 50%. It's 792 milliseconds. But that's pretty significant. YouTube is also a pretty big hit, but of course, being a video website, it's to be expected.
Right.
But that is that's the tracker.
Oh.
And so, yeah, it's not 50%. You
no.
can see where 50% lies.
Yeah.
But it's a small amount, but it's significantly larger than any of our other assets, other than YouTube, which is to be expected. What other assets are a big hit? That's it. That's the only one that stands out. And it actually happened to be DoubleClick.
Huh.
Which is googleads.g.doubleclick.net. So maybe
there could be under something.
That's interesting. That's interesting. And do you see that this, when you think about asynchronous terms as far as website load time, so all of these assets up here, see how these are all in line?
Yes.
They loaded at exactly the same time together.
Right.
So that's good. Look at what happened when ad click happened on my website. Nothing else was able to load until it was almost finished. And then it loaded the rest of my assets. See that?
Oh, yeah. I can picture how that works out, actually.
It stopped my website from loading for
a moment. I'm picturing that on my mobile phone.
Yeah.
When that happens. I know that that's happening. It's annoying.
I don't like that they're right.
Oh.
I really don't like that they're right, but we just proved it right here on Category5.tv Newsroom.
Microsoft's long journey away from Intel reached escape velocity over the past week as the first traditional laptop with Qualcomm's ARM processor was revealed by Lenovo. The Yoga 6 or C630WOS. WOS stands for Windows on Snapdragon, how Qualcomm prefers to call Windows on ARM. And since it's a Qualcomm inside, not Intel inside, it gets to call the shots. This is the second always-connected PC from Lenovo to run a Qualcomm chip, but the first to run the Snapdragon 850 processor. Officially announced last year, the Microsoft Qualcomm Alliance Always Connected was created to produce chips with support for legacy x86 instructions into an ARM processor, which should result in full-blown Windows running on devices with greater power efficiency than Intel could manage. How much more efficiency? Qualcomm says 25 plus hours of local video playback on a single charge.
Whoa!
That's right. This particular Yoga is a smart but generic machine with a 13.3-inch touchscreen convertible display. There is an LTE modem built in, and the 2.9 GHz Snapdragon 850 system has 4 gigabytes of RAM. They're expensive, but Lenovo reckons that those enterprise users will pay that for longer battery life. Microsoft's last attempt to put Windows on ARM showed that most legacy applications were so deeply reliant on x86 quirks that only a subset could run, and customers didn't want a subset. Windows RT was short-lived.
Yeah, was it ever?
Yeah.
This is why we see Raspberry Pi, Linux this, Linux that, everything's Linux on Raspberry Pi, because it's an ARM processor.
And right.
So Linux is ported, Windows, not so much.
Right.
So now they're taking a different approach, and hey, here's a Qualcomm processor that'll let us do what we want to do.
Do you think that increased battery life will let people, like, do you think that that will be the draw, that people will spend that much more money on, is the thing?
If I was a trucker,
yeah,
I would want a 25-hour battery life. Could you imagine if you were going from stop to stop, how brilliant that would be? Or in business, where, you know, you're on out in the field and you don't have to recharge the battery except once a month.
But would you trust it, though? Like, here's the thing. So I just got a boogie board.
Yeah.
And it runs for 1 week without charge.
Is that what they say? And that's what the air quotes mean?
I've never tried to run it 1 week without a charge.
Never ever.
I've just never done it. I mean, I just got it, but
you're just so used to having to charge your phone.
I just charge everything I own as often as I can, assuming I'm not going to ruin the battery by charging it. How often am I playing something for 25 hours and not?
Well,
see, that's
that.
The thing.
And I look at my Bluetooth headphones, for example.
Right.
And with that, they claim 19 hours battery life.
Right.
And so you think, well, when are you ever going to listen to music for 19 hours?
Right.
But 19 hours of battery life to me means 2 weeks of listening to music for about an hour every night while I clean dishes or do things around the house or work on my computer.
Do you wait till they die before you charge it, though?
I don't always, but I tend to get that notification on my Bluetooth headphones. It's a battery low.
You and I are different in that regard. I will let my gas tank run to empty before I fill it.
Okay.
But my battery life for my things. Like, that's why I read this news story and I thought, okay, yes, it's great. Except that for me, the battery life isn't that much of a big, like, it's not that big of a deal. I'm never not around power. I can always juice it up.
Fair enough.
Right?
Right. But isn't, so that's not a selling point for you then.
Right. That's it's not that I'm not impressed and I'm not excited about this. It's just that I wouldn't pay more for it. I'm excited about it. But 25 hours of video playback.
Think about how, now this is a laptop, so it's not something that you're going to put into a weather station. But think about that. Like the uses for this. Or think about medical.
You know,
being able to put it on a cart in a hospital and wheel it around, and it suddenly sounds brilliant. Now we don't have to have wires going to this machine that's powered by this laptop. Not that you would, but I mean, that's pretty brilliant.
It's brilliant,
technologically
actually.
Wise,
yeah.
The fact that, you know, my laptop, I've got this ginormous battery sticking out of the butt end of it so that I can get 4 hours of battery life.
Right.
9 cells of juice. It's heavy on the back end, but it gives me 4 hours of battery life, which I'm very happy with. 25 hours, I would never have to charge my laptop because as soon as I set it down at home, it goes onto the charger.
Right.
So I would never have to perceptively, oh no, my battery's low, I've got to plug it in. I would never have to deal with that again.
Just, yeah, out of your mind.
Yeah.
Cool.
Never an issue. Never an issue.
Uber says it plans to focus more on its electric scooter and bike business and less on cars, despite the fact that it could hurt profits. Uber CEO Dara...
I didn't make up the name, but I did write it into the teleprompter, and I apologize.
I know. Okay.
We're going to say Dara Khosrowshahi.
No, I'm going to get this right.
Are you?
Khosrowshahi. Khosrowshahi.
Dara.
Dara
Khosrowshahi. Anytime you say it, it's Dara.
Dara.
Just go with it.
Says, during rush hour, it is very inefficient for a one-ton hulk of metal to take one person 10 blocks. He believes individual modes of transport are better suited to inner-city travel. He also forecasts users would make more frequent shorter journeys in future. The ride-sharing firm has invested a number of bike firms in the last year. Its Jump electric bikes are now available in 8 U.S. cities, including New York and Washington, and will soon launch in Berlin as well. It also teamed up with Lime, an electric scooter company, while forging deals in other areas such as public transit and freight. Dara admitted that Uber makes less money from a bike ride than from the same trip in a car, but said this would be offset as customers use the app more frequently for shorter journeys. He says, "We are willing to trade off short-term per unit economics for long-term higher engagement." He also acknowledged that Uber drivers could lose out from the plan, but said over the longer term, drivers would benefit from more lucrative, longer journeys. Uber, which lost $4.5 billion in the last year, is under pressure to improve its finances ahead of an anticipated public listing. Revenue from its taxi business is rising, but the cost of expansion into new areas such as bike sharing and food delivery has meant losses have grown rapidly. Regulatory pressure is also threatening growth in some markets. This month, New York voted to impose a temporary cap on new licenses for ride-hailing vehicles to tackle congestion, while the mayor of London has said he will seek similar restrictions.
Okay. I've seen these scooters like around the cities and stuff.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I love this. Mm-hmm. I applaud Uber for doing something that maybe doesn't make sense as far as profit goes. Like,
or is it long term? Is it like Amazon saying, we're not making money just yet, but we will. And when we do, it'll be 2018 and we will be the biggest commerce store in the universe.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
They knew it.
Uber is smart. Like, I really like this. And to tell you the truth, I mean, you don't need a driver to drive you from...
Oh, sure.
One, you know, like, you just don't need that from here to there if it's, you know, 3 kilometers
Sasha,
or five kilometers.
I have a half-hour lunch.
Right. Okay?
I get a half-hour lunch every day.
Yeah.
And that's enough time to have a sandwich.
Yeah.
It's not enough time to walk to the coffee shop that's on the corner.
Right.
But wouldn't it be nice if I could just, oh, there's that bike. And it's a scooter, an electric scooter. Right. So now I can all of a sudden take this scooter to that corner, get myself a lunch, and then take the scooter back and park it on the road. Like, not on the road, but near the road.
Yeah.
Where someone else can grab it.
Exactly.
I like that idea. So it makes sense for that use case. I'm not going to hail a taxi for that.
No.
Not a chance.
Because it feels kind of wasteful. Like, it's important if I need to go to the airport. Yeah, I would get Uber to drive me to the airport. But I don't need anything more than an electric bike or a scooter to get from...
Oh, getting around town and getting past the traffic and stuff?
Yeah. I mean,
bikes are allowed, like, to, you know, they're bikes.
They're bikes. You can do it.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. Drive it along the boardwalk. Whatever.
Uber Eats is another thing that Uber's getting into. Same idea, right? Food delivery.
Yeah.
Again, just a simple way, like that maybe they're not making a ton of money on it, but it's a simple way to diversify.
Sure.
And it feels a little bit more responsible. It feels responsible.
Hey, this is greener aspect.
I
can sense that.
Yes.
And I like that, but I don't feel like that's their motivation.
That's not their... This is why I'm trying not to say it, even though it's really in my heart. For me, it feels environmental. I know for them it's pocketbook or something. But I'm
or strategy.
Right. I'm hearing environmental in their message, but that's not...
Right.
Like, they could have appealed to me by saying, listen, this will save the world. And I'd be like, okay, I will ride an e-bike.
No more.
I did just buy a car, but...
Yeah. Fumes. And
if this had happened 5 minutes earlier, I would have not bought my car and I would have just taken an e-bike from Uber.
To live in a place where you can do that?
I know.
Here in Canada, like, it's just, there's nowhere in Canada that that's possible.
Right.
I mean, maybe a snowmobile up north, and that could be your year-round transportation, but no.
My sister, before she became a midwife, she was using Zip Cars in Toronto. So it's a car
same
sharing,
kind of thing,
ride
yeah.
sharing idea.
Right.
So exactly the
they
same as what Uber is saying. Like
yeah.
you park in a public lot and you just go in and I don't know how you do it. You tap your thing and you have the car for as long as you need it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, because she's now a midwife and people have babies at crazy hours, she needs to have a car of her
right,
own. But
yeah. like they don't like... women giving birth in a Zip car.
No, not ideal.
They shy away from that.
But this is the idea that Uber has, right? Like, just make transportation accessible to everybody in a way that is not so out of pocket and so bad on the environment, right?
Right.
Done.
Okay, so other flip side, thinking along that vein, who is this beneficial to? Not just the person who wants to grab a quick bite at lunch that's working downtown, but... think about not the infirm, but people who have mobility issues.
Right.
Right. So I may not be able to go for a jog, but I can make my way to a scooter and safely drive a scooter.
Right.
And take it to the store and take it back or
exactly.
whatever I want to do or go visit
to the
family.
Doctor, right?
Absolutely.
Like your doctor is probably what? Like a half an hour walk or like a 4 minute scooter ride.
Yeah.
Right.
But if you've got mobility issues, then it just makes sense. It absolutely makes sense.
I love it. There's also, smart for Uber probably to cut out some of the drivers. Not that the drivers of Uber are bad, but it's a tricky
Doesn't
game to
that
play with.
Feel like we used you to build this thing up, and now we don't need you anymore. And I don't want to leave it at that. But
it's. But also, I kind of like it.
Yeah.
I know, I'm that person. Okay. We won't leave it at that exactly, but I just feel like
you might have some bad experiences, folks.
No.
So where are you going?
No.
Where are you going?
I just think if you can cut out that extra person, you can save a lot of
cut
trouble.
Costs.
Yeah.
All right.
Scientists have for the first time used gene editing to treat Duchenne muscular dystrophy, DMD, in a large mammal, a significant step towards effective treatment for people with the disorder. The condition, which has no cure, leads to loss of muscle function and strength and ultimately an early death. But in a study on dogs, scientists were able to partially restore the key protein people with DMD cannot make. They hope in future to test the technique in people. Duchenne muscular dystrophy, DMD, is the most common fatal genetic disease in children and almost entirely affects boys and young men. Children born with the degenerative disease have a genetic mutation that stops them from producing dystrophin, a protein that is vital for muscle strength and function. The same disorder also occurs in many dog breeds. Using the CRISPR gene editing tool, scientists were able to restore dystrophin in four dogs that had the most common genetic mutations seen in DMD patients by making a single strategic cut in the faulty DNA. This was done by injecting the dogs, who were 1 month old, with two harmless viruses that edited the genome of the dog in the cells of the muscles and the heart. Scientists have estimated that 15% or greater improvement is needed to significantly help patients. Within several weeks of the edit made in the dogs, the missing protein was restored in the muscle tissue throughout the body, including a 92% correction in the heart and 58% in the diaphragm, meeting the main muscle needed for breathing. Richard Piercy, professor of comparative neuromuscular disease at the Royal Veterinary College, said the ambition is to show that this is safe and effective in dogs and then move on into human trials. That said, they also hope the treatment will be used to help dogs affect afflicted with the disorder. This is the first time the technique was carried out in a large mammal. The proof of concept study raises hopes that CRISPR can ultimately lead to more effective treatments for DMD. This isn't a cure, but Darren Griffin, professor of genetics at the University of Kent, said this work represents a small but very significant step towards the use of gene editing for DMD. Any steps towards significant treatment regimes can only be good news. Dr. Kate Adcock, Director of Research and Innovation at the charity Muscular Dystrophy UK, said the next step will be to conduct larger, longer-term studies to see if the gene editing approach does help to slow the progression of the condition and improve muscle strength.
Wow.
Huge.
It's a tough scenario because it's like it's testing on animals, which I'm not really all for, but
when done right, it cures the animal.
Like, this is what they're doing is they're creating viruses that, when injected into a living thing, goes to the DNA that it is basically programmed to go to and modifies it.
Exactly.
That's mind-bending. And so, you know, why is it on a tech show? It's like the technology is so far beyond the little circuits and bebobs and diodes,
right,
and now is at the molecular and atomic level. It's just, but it's still technology. It's astonishing.
Exactly. So I don't love the idea of gene editing in the wrong hands.
Okay.
I don't.
Fair enough.
But let's put that aside for a second, because this is a good news story about curing, not curing muscular dystrophy, but like fixing it once it's happened. Dave's older brother, who was like 17 when Dave was born, so like almost a father figure to Dave.
Wow.
His name was Tim, and he had cystic fibrosis. So he died at way too early an age. I never got to meet him. He was amazing, a great artist, a huge personality. He really shaped who Dave is in a large part. Cystic fibrosis doesn't have a cure. But CRISPR gene manipulation, right now, that they're not even working on that, I'm sure, right now. But if they can do this, they can do that. And that means that in future, somebody who has a family member that has some sort of irreversible degenerative disease, something that's going to lead to an early death that it really does not need to, can actually, like, save lives and then ripple effect, save entire, like, the world would be such a better place if Tim was in it. It's, the world is still good, but... Like,
I heard it said that, and I don't know the actual number of characters within our DNA and the genome,
yeah,
but that you can think of DNA as being just a series of letters. And
right.
If something is misspelled, this technique is simply auto-correcting it.
Right.
Spell checking it and fixing that spelling error. And by doing that, it's correcting whatever the underlying issue is. So you say it's not a cure, but it's kind of miraculous. It's kind of amazing that, like in this test case, it's a pretty huge, significant difference in these animals.
And if it can go here, where else could it go? Like I think the BRCA1 gene that causes, you know, breast cancer if you have it, right? If they could test for it, and then if you're born with the BRCA1 gene, if they could use this technology.
Right.
And
if it's genetic and they can just fix it.
Right? These are people that are loved that we can save using this technology. It's amazing.
And it's reality.
Yeah.
Like, this is not sci-fi anymore.
Right.
It was when we were kids watching this on movies and stuff. And now it's actually something that they're figuring out.
Right.
Which is pretty exciting.
And my hopes are that this is going to end up being the technology that isn't, that doesn't divide people. I want it really to bring it, everyone together.
You're right. Do away with genetic disorder.
Exactly.
You know, like Star Trek. Yay. No disease.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Big thanks to Roy W. Nash and our community of viewers for submitting stories to us this week. Thanks for watching the Category5.tv newsroom. Don't forget to like and subscribe for all your tech news with a slight Linux bias. And for more free content, be sure to check out our website. From the Category5.tv newsroom, I'm Sasha Rickman.
And I'm Robbie Ferguson. It's been great having you here this week. Thank you for joining us. And we're looking forward to seeing you again, same time, same place next week.
Exactly.
Take care.